Good morning. I'm Mike Peterson, and welcome to a special election preview edition of This Week in KMA Land. Today, we'll take a look at the candidates running in key races in Tuesday's city school elections, as well as some major bond issue votes. Over the past several weeks, KMA News has interviewed a host of candidates in special Meet the Candidates segments of The Morning Line. Shenandoah voters have some major decisions to make regarding the city's leadership in Tuesday's elections. Of prime interest is the mayor's race, in which incumbent Roger McQueen is running for a second term against challenger Jerry Wagaman. A Farragut native and 1980 Farragut High School graduate, McQueen has been a Shenandoah resident since 1989. He's owned McQueen's cleaning services since 1997. McQueen and wife of 43 years, Julie, have two grown children and two grandchildren. After spending 8 years in the city's Park and Recreation Board, McQueen won his first term as mayor over seven other opponents in November 2021. Speaking on KMA's Morning Line program earlier this week, McQueen says he's running for a second term because he wants to continue the city's growth experienced over the past 4 years, and before that with his predecessor, Dick Hunt.
What I've always said the last 4 years is, I didn't make any promises. I didn't come in with any big changes. All I wanted to do was be able to help Shenandoah move forward. And, the last 4 years have been good. We've seen a lot of progress in different areas. And, we have places we can improve. And so, I would like to have another 4 years to go ahead and continue with some of the plans and the ideas that we have.
Well, saying the city is working to put more city ordinances on its website, McQueen believes the city has made inroads in communications during his term. He also addressed comments made by other candidates regarding the need for more transparency in city government.
I think what everybody's asking for here, and it all goes back to it, and every one of their comments is communication. To me, transparency would mean there would be things that do not come out, don't get published, etc. But the city communicates. We put out the agenda. We put out the council meeting minutes like we're required. Everything that the city is required to do gets put out.
An Omaha native and a graduate of Omaha Cathedral High School, Wagaman holds an associate's degree from Southeast Community College in Milford, where he learned diesel truck mechanic skills. After moving to Shenandoah in 1983, he worked for two companies, including 23 years at MidAmerican Energy, until his retirement earlier this year. Wagaman says he's considered running for city government before.
Twice I've looked at running for city council, and with the job that I have or had before I retired, did not actually allow me the time to actually focus on trying to be a city council member. And I was actually looking at running for city council this last go around here. And some friends and some other people approached me and said, maybe you might want to consider running for mayor instead. And so that's what I've decided to do.
During the campaign, Wagaman has been critical of the perceived lack of transparency in the current city administration, though some ordinances, along with council meeting agenda and minutes, are posted on the city's website. He says more information must be made available to the public.
You know, they talk about that it's already online and available, but it just seems like people have not known that they've been there, where they've been, if they've been updated, and I think there needs to be a better job of that.
Shenandoah residents will also decide two city council races. In Ward 1, longtime incumbent Rita Gibson is challenged by Jeffrey Capps. An Imogene native and a Shenandoah High School graduate, Gibson was appointed to the council in May 2016, succeeding her late husband, Don. She was unchallenged for re-election to a full term in 2017 and in 2021. Gibson says she's seeking re-election for a third term because of pending issues, such as the city's water situation. Gibson was asked whether she supports ending Stage 4 water conservation regulations.
Well, that would depend on how the water levels in the wells do, the weather, if we get more rain. Also, there's lots of contributing factors to that. So it would depend. If we have the water, I would like to see it lessen some from Stage 4. But that depends on Mother Nature a lot of times.
A resident of Shenandoah since 1986 and a 1991 Shenandoah High School graduate, Capps has worked professionally in customer service and management, including 2 years as manager of the Legacy 3 Theater. Capps says he's running for city council because he wants to give back to the community.
When I was in school, my dad was very active in the community. He was the fire chief in the 1990s, and he was on Optimist Club. He did quite a bit for the city, and I just felt that now's my time to give back to my community just like my father did.
Four candidates are running for the at-large council position vacated by Tony Graham, who is not running for re-election. A 1982 Shenandoah High School graduate, Jeff Heiser's background is in education and city government. Heiser served as mayor in 1998 and as a city council member, police officer, and firefighter. Heiser believes he could put his previous municipal and education experience to work for the city.
Serving as mayor and a former city councilman, I'm well aware of the responsibilities. I have the experience in budgeting, priorities, setting long-term, short-term goals is valuable. And knowing the procedures that go along, what it takes to work as a city council, because we know as a city council member, you really have no authority, but you're there to listen to the people, but you make your decisions based on a council.
A 43-year Shenandoah resident, Alan Jordan, has owned and operated Quality Construction for the past 27 years. Currently, the company is working on three projects in KMA land. Jordan says local residents prompted him to run for city council.
I've had a lot of people that have come to me for advice and things like that, and they said, you need to run for council because you try to get things done and, you know, we need to make a change. And so I pondered that over a little bit, but I guess I decided to go ahead and do that.
A 2016 Shenandoah High School graduate, Matthew Regan, holds a bachelor's degree in social work from Missouri Western State College. A local auctioneer, Regan is owner and CEO of Regan Resell and Auctioneering LLC. Regan says he's running for the council's at-large spot because of his love for the community and his desire to be an ear and voice for residents.
I have a lot of people skills. I like to listen. I'm very open. I like talking with people. I'm a very decent problem solver, I believe, and I have kind of a unique twist on some issues, and it intrigues me to kind of get involved.
Kathy Silvestri and her family moved to Shenandoah 10 years ago. Currently, Silvestri is attending massage therapy school in Omaha with plans to graduate in December. She's also spearheaded property renovations in Shenandoah and Essex. Silvestri says she's running for the council because Shenandoah needs a spark.
I love this town. My kids go to school here, and it's one of those things where, what are we giving back to our children? What are we leaving with our children? This town needs something. It needs help. It needs to bring spunk back to the community as a whole. You know, when we are done, like, what is it that will become of Shenandoah?
Another major contest in KMA land is in the Glenwood Mayor's race, putting incumbent Angie Winquist against challenger Jason Schultz. A Messina native, Winquist has been a Glenwood resident since 1983. After serving as Glenwood City Clerk and City Administrator from 2012 to 2021, Winquist was appointed mayor in December 2023, succeeding the late Ron Cohn. Winquist says she's running for a full term as mayor to oversee the completion of some very important projects in the community.
We're in the middle of a downtown revitalization program, and I really want to see and help find a positive solution on our swimming pool issue. In addition to that, we're in the beginnings of the redevelopment of the GRC, and I would really like to help contribute to that as well.
City officials kept the Glenwood Aquatic Center closed this past summer because of a myriad of problems. Winquist declined to speculate on whether the pool will open in 2026.
I would love to say yes, but I doubt that it could be open in 2026, but we sure will try. This is going to depend on what happens once we go through the litigation process.
A 15-year resident of Glenwood, Schultz was a traveling mechanic and sales representative before owning a courier business for several years. Currently renting a home in Glenwood, Schultz lived with his wife, who together have two children. Schultz tells KMA News he became interested in politics after they sold their home in Glenwood on a short sale due to what he says were high assessments, taxes, and insurance.
Having that happen to you, you really start looking at politics and, you know, seeing where your tax dollars get spent and things like that. And I've seen a lot of things go downhill a little bit here in the last 10 years. And it's just one of those things that I feel that a change is needed. Some different faces, some different ideas.
Among his priorities, Schultz says, is cutting the fluff out of the city's budget. Schultz says he would hope to be a more active mayor and help prioritize the projects the city tackles. Red Oak voters have some interesting races to decide Tuesday, but not for mayor. Though two candidates are listed on the ballot, only one is actually running for the position vacated by Shauna Silvius, who opted not to run for re-election. Born and raised in Red Oak, Tim Friedhoff and wife, Dr. Kate Friedhoff, operate Oak Valley Animal Health in Red Oak and have five children. Friedhoff was elected to one of two at-large city council positions in 2021, including 2 years as mayor pro tem. He's also been active in numerous organizations, including the Montgomery County Development Corporation, Montgomery County YMCA, and the Red Oak Partnership. Friedhoff says he decided to run for mayor after Shauna Silvius again announced she would not seek another term.
We've got a lot at stake right now. We've got major opportunities like our Revitalized Southwest Iowa initiative with the Lakin Foundation. We've got our Brownfield Assessments grant that we were just awarded. Those things can help position Red Oak for long-term success. And those are things that I don't feel we should leave up to chance or hope that they'll get done. We need leadership that's going to follow through and keep those projects moving and turn those opportunities into results.
Former Councilman John Heitzig filed nomination papers to run against Friedhoff, but withdrew his candidacy 2 weeks ago after making controversial remarks at a Mayor's Youth Advisory Council event at Red Oak Public Library. Two candidates vie for Red Oak's at-large council position, including one familiar face in city government. Janice Lester, husband Will, and family moved to Red Oak more than four decades ago. In addition to serving as an accounting clerk in the Red Oak School District for 30 years, Lester originally served 12 years as an at-large councilwoman before retiring at the end of 2023. She then returned to the council in July after being appointed to the first ward seat previously held by John Heitzig. Lester says she wants to return to her old at-large position.
The state of Iowa changed the rules and you had to run in the next election, which made me run in November. And with my personality, there was no way I was not going to run. As you mentioned, I have been at the at-large position for so many years, and I decided that's where I could best serve the community, so that's why I went back to the at-large position.
Lester's opponent, John Gross, graduated from Red Oak High School in 1994. Speaking on a KMA Morning Line program Friday morning, Gross says he's running for city council because he wants to see changes in city government. He also questions some of the city's priorities.
They keep boasting about, you know, bringing in fiber optics and stuff like that for internet and stuff, but we have way too many other problems we need to worry about before we worry about internet. And I help fight against mandated garbage in our town that we've never had, and I helped try to get citywide cleanup started to try to help some people that needed to get rid of stuff.
Another contested race is in Essex, where four candidates seek two spots on the Essex City Council. They include Jeff Eshelman, who moved to Essex over 10 years ago from Spirit Lake in Iowa's Great Lakes area. First elected to the council in November 2021, Eshelman is one of four candidates seeking a spot on the council. Eshelman tells KMA News that he's running for another term to continue seeing through ongoing projects or remaining fiscally responsible.
The water project is coming up, the completed sewer project, and now with the new water tower going in, I just feel that limited funds, we got to control our spending and watch and spend wisely. You know, it's taxpayer money, and that money is dwindling what seems to be every year, what comes back to our community from property taxes.
Born in Shenandoah and raised in Essex, Jeremy McComb graduated from Essex High School in 1995. After moving away for a few years, McComb moved his family back to Southwest Iowa and Essex. Currently working as a plumber with Rogers Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling out of Red Oak, McComb tells KMA News he decided to run for city council to see his hometown continue to thrive and grow.
I want to see it go further down the road. I don't want that school to shut down, get his chest down. You lose small towns. It happens all over Iowa, all over the United States, I guess. That's what I want to say. But I just want to, I'd like to see that. I grew up there, and I would like to see that town continue to be a town. It's great for kids to grow up in. Small town values.
A Phoenix, Arizona native, Donald Olson, has served as street supervisor for the city of Essex for the past year. He's also worked with multiple companies in Southwest Iowa, including Earl Mays, American Hydraulics, and Parker Hannifin. Olson tells KMA News he's running to ensure the city continues to collaborate with the school and other entities in town to help the community grow.
I want to do that is like continue sharing with the resources with the Essex Community Schools, of obvious, because if we don't have a school, we won't have a town. And like continue infrastructures, improvements in our streets, alleys, sidewalks, curbs, gutters, then review our current ordinances and bring some of them up to date.
A 1981 Essex High School graduate, Kevin Nyko, worked with a chemical company in southern Texas before returning to Essex in 2009 to be closer to his family. He then worked for 13 years at the Eaton Corporation and subsequently with NSK out of Clarinda before retiring in 2024. Nyko tells KMA News he decided to run to give back to his community.
The city's always been good to me, and they were always great to all of my family. I have quite a bit of family living around here. And it's just something that I needed to give back to the city. And since I'm retired now, I have a lot of time to commit into handling things within the city.
In addition to city council and school board races, some school bond issue referendums dot KMA land election ballots. Voters in the 13 counties served by Iowa Western Community College go to the polls Tuesday on a $55 million bond issue. Iowa Western President Dr. Daniel Kinney says proceeds from the bond issue will cover construction of so-called flexible industrial training space at Iowa Western's Clarinda campus and centers in Shenandoah and Atlantic for career technical education or CTE courses.
We've got great facilities in these communities. Problem is there's more for transfer, and we're built back then when we were, a lot of students would come in, just get their gen eds out of the way and transfer on. We're seeing more and more students wanting that career technical education. So, you know, by passing this bond will allow us to be able to do that, you know, down here in the southern half of our district right now.
Also planned is construction of a transportation logistics center at the school's Council Bluffs campus. Voters in the Stanton School District, meanwhile, will decide on a $5,325,000 bond issue referendum on Tuesday's ballot. Stanton School Superintendent David Goot says proposed projects include an upgraded elementary entrance to meet security concerns.
The biggest ticket item would be an addition to the south of the elementary entrance, which would create a new office space area for both the senior high and elementary schools, with that being having a double vestibule or an entrance that you can't just have straight access to the building. And it actually would have a lockdown feature where you could lock that area down altogether. Both our current office areas do have a buzzing system with cameras, but then after you get through the main door, then you have access to the building.
Another proposed feature is the replacement of the K-12 building's fire alarm system, as well as electrical upgrades and HVAC improvements, including the building's gym. Voters in the Bedford School Districts go to the polls Tuesday on an $11.5 million bond issue. If approved by that necessary 60% supermajority, the proceeds would cover construction of a new competitive gym into the K-12 complex's secondary wing and a new loading dock in back of the building. Bedford and Mount Air School Superintendent Jason Schaefer says the new gym would replace the existing main gym constructed in the 1980s and a secondary gym that's more than a century old.
Right now, our capacity is 600, which in our current conference, the Corner Conference, that does rank us the smallest gym of all the schools there. And our second gym probably could hold about 150. Most other schools have a second gym, I think all but one, and they're a little more adequate or usable for today's secondary competitions, junior high and so forth.
In the Atlantic School District, a $22.5 million bond issue is proposed to cover a myriad of projects at the district's elementary schools, middle school, and high school. Much of the work is targeted for Washington Elementary School, including demolition of the oldest portions of the building dating back to 1958 and 1962. You can hear the results of all these races and referendums on election night in KMA land. Our election coverage begins Tuesday evening sometime after 8 p.m. and continues until all major contests are decided. That wraps up this week in KMA land. Be listening each week at this time for This Week in KMA Land. And for more information all the time, log on to KMALand.com, where you can also hear this program in its entirety. For the entire KMA News team, this is Mike Peterson. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This Week in KMA Land, a presentation of KMA News, keeping the region informed for 100 years.